From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is a special pledge drive episode of Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. On Reveal, we work to connect the dots that aren't always obvious. Like in this story, where reporter Emily Harris follows the toxic trail of a lead bullet. Its path is shaped by politics and culture. The Obama administration had planned to phase out lead bullets on certain federal lands, but the Trump administration reversed course. Emily Harris went to Wyoming to see how that decision is playing out.
And so the magazine goes in here.
It's a below-freezing December morning in Wyoming's Bridger-Teton National Forest.
And then this is the safety.
Brian Bedrosian gets ready to shoot a deer. He loads just one bullet into the magazine, even though it can hold four.
You're going to kill this deer with one shot.
You're going to kill this deer with one shot.
We were laughing because the white-tailed deer was already dead before Brian shot it.
Guess we'll see if I'm a good shot or not, huh?
A car hit it the day before. Brian got the corpse from the highway cleanup crew. We hauled it out here, we set it up on a log, and shot it with a lead bullet, all to understand the impact of lead bullets on wildlife.
And the entry wound is always small.
Brian's a hunter. He's also a bird biologist.
Yeah. Wait, now is that the bullet hole? That big rip under the left leg?
Yeah, so there's
leg.
A bullet hole right there. And then in, out.
The physics of bullets is good to understand here. And it's fascinating. When a lead bullet hits a deer or an elk or any game, its shape immediately starts to change.
And so the bullet hits, and when it hits, the front of the bullet starts to mushroom.
It collapses back, sort of?
It either collapses back or kind of peels back, just depending on the type of bullet you're using. But yeah, so the whole front half of the bullet will essentially, if you pulled it out, it would look like a mushroom.
Studies using X-rays have found that lead fragments can travel through an animal's muscle and guts to more than a foot away from the bullet hole. That's because as a lead bullet releases its energy inside the animal, it can break into fragments as small as dust.
And so you could see that, you know, a little bit of the blood came out here.
After shooting an animal, many hunters just take the meat they want with them, leaving piles of potentially lead-tainted guts for eagles and other wildlife to munch on.
The smaller the particle, the more dangerous it is, because the smaller it is, the easier it is to pass through the digestive system. The acids eat it up quick, and it gets fully assimilated into the bird's system.
Our next stop is the Raptor Rehabilitation Center, just south of Grand Teton National Park. Brian is the research director here.
So here on our left is the Raptor Center.
The center is in a soaring, old Gothic-style barn in a broad river valley with snow-capped mountains all around.
So this is the Raptor barn where we house all of our educational birds, and then this is our rehab barn. And this is Megan Warren, our rehabilitation director.
And chief snow shoveler.
Chief snow shoveler.
At least today. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Megan takes us inside to a small lab space. She introduces me to a Eurasian eagle owl named K2. K2 spits out a pellet of bone bits and rodent fur from his last meal, as raptors do. In a dark room off this lab space, a golden eagle is resting. He was brought here with lead poisoning a couple of weeks ago.
And this bird, in addition to lead, a blood lead level, he also collided with something and had some head and eye trauma.
Lead poisoning can affect a bird's balance, so it can't fly right. Lead can also shut down a bird's digestive system.
Okay, we ready?
It's time for treatment. Megan quietly opens the eagle's cage. Recorded forest sounds play to keep him calm. Megan and a volunteer cover the eagle's eyes with a little leather hood. They protect his tail with a plastic sleeve.
You hold his head.
The eagle gets antibiotics, an anti-inflammatory, a medicine to help his stomach problems, also eye drops. He's just finished his last round of medicine to take out the lead.
You inject it under the skin, and the lead binds with that molecule, and then it puts it into a form that the body can then pass through the urinary tract.
How does it compare to what a human goes through for lead treatment?
It's the same.
Exact same.
Like people, more exposure to lead makes birds sicker. How sick also depends on the species.
So if you're an eagle that's 20 years old, and every year you get exposed to lead during the big game hunting season, and then this year you have just even a little bit, you know, of exposure, it's enough to tip you over the edge. And condors, on the other extreme, are extremely sensitive to it at lower levels.
To save the condor, California has banned all lead bullets. It's the only state to have gone that far. Other states do have some restrictions on lead ammunition. And as we mentioned, the Trump administration reversed an Obama decision to fully phase out lead on some federal lands. Lead bullets are allowed on the National Elk Refuge in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It's our next stop.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good.
In a parking lot out on the refuge, we find Caleb Putt, a burly drywall guy. He's bagged at least one elk a year around here since he was a teenager. That's a couple decades worth of elk. He's tracking a herd on the hillside through his binoculars.
You want to look?
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds up there.
Thousands.
Actually, that's thousands, you think?
I would think there's probably about 2,000.
I ask him whether he uses lead or lead-free ammunition. He's been really friendly, but with this question, he looks hard at me and replies carefully.
It just depends on what I'm hunting with. And you can use lead-free bullets, but they're not as... the trajectory, for some reason, isn't quite as good.
Brian jumps into the conversation, and the two of them chat guns and bullet specs in great detail for a couple of minutes. Then Brian points to the logo on his jacket.
I'm a Raptor Center guy.
And shows his biologist side.
I would put a plug in for the eagles to use non-lead.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But
What happens to the eagles?
About two-thirds of the eagles we test out here on the refuge and in the park have elevated lead, and about a third have poisoning levels from the fragmentation in the gut piles.
Hmm. Interesting.
Brian tells Caleb about an experiment he ran with hunters in the area.
It was 2012, 2013. I handed out free ammo.
Oh, really?
And then sold it at cost for about 2 years. And as the number of hunters using non-lead increased, we saw a corresponding decrease of lead in the eagles.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I was pretty psyched about it.
Oh, I thought you were just about to give me a box of bullets.
Brian's research matches other studies. Caleb's back to feeling friendly. Brian takes the plunge.
Let me ask you this. Why don't you use non-lead?
I guess just because I favor the trajectory and the way this shoots through my weapon.
Hunters groups often say that non-lead bullets don't shoot as well. Texas and Arizona got hunters to try non-lead and then asked them what they thought. The vast majority said lead-free bullets worked just fine. Brian asked Caleb, well, what if...
Let's say, you know, you were taking out your neighbor's kid or something. Would you promote him using non-lead in his gun?
Oh, well, that's a good question. No. I got to tell you, I'm probably falling that group of people that haven't given it enough consideration.
Yeah.
And Brian leaves it there.
Next time you see me out here, bring me a box of bullets.
Brian wants to get rid of lead bullets, but in a way that hunters will accept. He has some hope because duck hunters switched over to lead-free shot after a federal ban 20 years ago. As we hike up a short, steep hill on the elk refuge, I ask Brian what he thought about Caleb.
Okay, when I first said lead bullets, he totally looked me over like,
yep.
Who the hell are you and what do you want?
Yep, yeah.
You caught that look too?
Oh, absolutely. His whole body position shifted, which is not uncommon. Yeah, this is a long-term play. It's gonna take a generational shift. You know, if somebody starts hunting with non-lead, they'll hunt non-lead their whole life.
He didn't know about the eagles, though.
No, and that's, you know, it's good for me to hear that he didn't know about the eagles, and he was open to it. He seemed like a very educated and ethical hunter.
Caleb had suggested Brian work up a simple visual he could show elk hunters. Brian's already figured that out. He uses the elk guts that hunters leave behind.
So I'm just looking. There's a gut pile. All right, so you see...
On this bright, clear winter day on the refuge, piles of elk innards dot the frozen grass of the wide plain.
There's a lot of black specks out there.
How high up?
On the ground. They're all on the ground.
Oh, yeah. I see them, yes.
That's a feeding frenzy. There's a bunch of eagles in there, too.
Oh.
I could see some white heads.
A half a dozen bald eagles feast on one pile.
Let's stop and take a look.
As we approach, they scatter.
Oh, that is a gut pile.
Oh, yeah.
Brian slits the elk's stomach.
And this can sometimes get a little ripe.
And dumps out stinky, half-digested grasses.
Ew.
It's pretty gross.
I'll throw it in the sled.
He moves the pile to a sled. We collect a couple more and then load all three gut piles onto his truck. And then we head back to the Raptor Center to x-ray them.
That's elk gut pile number one.
Yeah, so this is one of the ones that the birds were feeding on.
We don't see much in the first two x-rays, but the third is different.
In this corner.
Bright white dots grouped together. Brian says this is how metal shows up on x-rays.
They're pretty small little particles, but I do think it's lead. Not a ton, but still enough to make an eagle sick.
Then we x-ray the deer we know was shot with a lead bullet because we did it.
All right, let's get the x-ray plate ready on the ground.
Okay.
He arranges the deer corpse on the x-ray plate.
Okay, let's try that.
Stands over it and pushes go. It takes a couple minutes to process and to get the image on the computer screen, but no time at all to find the bullet wound.
Yeah.
I think I can already see white flecks.
You sure can.
A channel.
Bright spots are clearly grouped around the bullet hole. Brian zooms in. With just his eyeball and a ruler, he finds metal about 4 inches from the bullet wound. He tries to count the flecks, but there are too many.
One lead bullet. Hundreds of fragments.
Studies have found enough particles of lead in game meat that several states caution young children and pregnant women about eating game shot with lead. Direct harm to humans isn't clear. But Brian knows that what we see on this x-ray is enough to seriously hurt any wildlife that would have scavenged it. Killing eagles is a federal crime. Punishment is a $100,000 fine or a year in jail. But there is no penalty for death by lead bullet dust.
Thanks to Emily Harris for bringing us this story. By the way, no birds ate that deer corpse that Brian shot. He took it to a dump where it was buried. When this story first aired, a biochemist in Switzerland heard it. She got intrigued by Brian's observations that lead affects different birds differently. So now, they're starting a research project together where they're working to figure out better lead poisoning treatment for people and birds. At Reveal, we don't just tell stories because it makes great radio. We tell stories to make impact. That's why public radio stations across the country play us, because they know their listeners are smart and curious about the world around them, but also want to make change. That's what we do. Give you the tools to make the world a better place, but we need your help to do it. Please support this public radio station for bringing you reporting like Reveal. Here's how.